Good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's telephone town hall. I'm Quan Wilson with Prince George's County Public Schools, and I'm pleased to be on the call tonight with Interim Superintendent Dr. Sean Joseph and Lisa Howe, Chief Financial Officer for Prince George's County Public Schools. Tonight, we will be discussing the fiscal year 27 budget and taking your questions live. If you have a question for tonight's speakers, just press 0 on your phone keypad to be added to the queue to ask your question live. We'll try to answer as many questions as possible. Again, my name is Quan Wilson, and I'll be hosting tonight's telephone town hall with Interim Superintendent Dr. Sean Joseph and Lisa Howe, Chief Financial Officer for PGCPS. Right now, we're dialing out to all PGCPS parents and guardians that they can join tonight's discussion regarding the fiscal year 27 budget. Before we welcome Dr. Joseph to the line, we would like to acknowledge the presence of members of our executive cabinet. Thank you, cabinet members, for joining us this evening. We are also pleased to be joined by several members of our esteemed Board of Education, including Jonathan Briggs, Vice Chair, Amy Olivo, District 4, Lolita E. Walker, District 9, Dr. Felton C. Moss, District 7, and Pamela Boozer-Struther, District 3. We will hear from our board members during the Q&A portion of tonight's event. Thank you to everyone for joining tonight's event. Without further ado, I would like to welcome and turn the floor over to Dr. Joseph. Welcome, Dr. Joseph, to tonight's event.
Thank you so much, Quan, for all that you do for Prince George's County Public Schools. It's greatly appreciated. And good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining this telephone town hall. I'm Sean Joseph, Interim Superintendent in Prince George's County Public Schools, and tonight we're going to talk a little bit about the financial reality facing our district. And I want to begin by framing this challenge within the context of the momentum that we've seen over the past 100 days. So in this past 100 days, I mean, I've had an opportunity to see what makes Prince George's County Public Schools simply remarkable. You know, our charge is clear. We need to close gaps and move from pockets of excellence to excellence at scale throughout the school district. During the course of the first 100 days, it's been about focusing on accountability, doing what we say we will do, and delivering for both our students and our families. And we're already seeing positive change. We've identified five big rocks. That's how we set clear priorities to guide our work. First, we know we must continue to focus on improving student outcomes for students with disabilities and our multilingual learners. Second, we must accelerate reading and math achievement. Third, focus on chronic absenteeism. Fourth, expand our dual enrollment and internship programs. And today we had a great opportunity to announce the expansion of dual enrollment to all 25 high schools across the district. And finally, strengthening a culture that attracts and retains great people. Now, so these are the focus areas that anchor our path as we move forward. In addition, we fast-tracked 80 new substitute teachers and reduced bus driver vacancies to under 100. We have fewer special education paraprofessional vacancies and hosted a required back-to-school meeting for families with disabilities in every one of our schools. We finalized three union contracts, agreements that value the work and respect educators and staff who make our schools work. We drove down student immunization noncompliance, restoring nearly $20 million once lost in attendance-based funding, moving from 4,000 students who were not in immunization compliance by September 30th, down to 23 this year. We're hiring faster, feeding more students, and moving smarter. From meal expansion during the federal government shutdown to improving transportation and launching a new bus app district-wide ahead of schedule, every operational gain is about one thing: service to our children and service to our families. We've also brought together family, staff, and students to help shape our path through 20 listening sessions. In addition, we've established an innovation zone to better support our most vulnerable schools. We've created five new performance and staffing dashboards that make progress visible in real time and offer a clearer view of how we've moved forward. We're reviewing our parent engagement policy to strengthen the bridge between families and schools. We've consolidated our blueprint and our strategic planning offices to ensure that every initiative moves in one direction with one purpose. We're deepening communication and engagement, communicating more frequently, listening more intentionally, and ensuring that every employee and family knows where we are headed. And finally, which brings us to tonight, we're confronting fiscal realities, including a $50 million budget realignment, and doing it with transparency and collaboration. And that's why we're here tonight. You know, together with our fabulous Board of Education, with our county executive and our county council and our unions, we're modeling a collaborative and transparent relationship rooted in partnership. We've embraced County Executive Aisha Braveboy's vision of a unified Prince George's County, where county and schools speak with one voice and work together to meet shared goals. We're capable, we're creative, and we're making progress. The question before us isn't how do we catch up, but how do we accelerate our success? The path ahead is going to require courage. We face real structural challenges this year. The county's projected to have a $100 million shortfall in their budget, and to prepare responsibly, I've asked our school system to identify $150 million in reductions for next year's budget. Whenever you have cuts of this magnitude, it will not be easy. However, my priority remains clear. We must protect staff raises and healthcare costs and keep healthcare costs manageable, even when we make the hard choices necessary to stabilize and strengthen our district. Our approach to this budget is strategic. It's about alignment, not achievement deficiency. We will not have an achievement problem if we can fix our alignment problem. Our budget will move forward by channeling energy into investments, into accelerant areas that I believe will drive student progress. One, how do we invest in improving technology and artificial intelligence integration? Two, how do we continue to invest in safety and security? Three, how do we better provide professional development to staff throughout the district? Four, how do we continue to make investments in special education so we can ensure that our special education delivery is seamless? Five, how do we focus on science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics across our school district, particularly in our non-specialty schools? And finally, how do we continue to be competitive with our employee compensation? To secure these investments, we must cut where we must, and then we'll take those dollars to reinvest where we can. Now, this is a moment for courage, for creativity, and for collective will, and your input is going to be vital in this process. We know this is going to be a difficult budget year, and we have tough choices to make in the weeks ahead. This call is the start of that process. In just a moment, you're going to hear from our Budget and Management Services, who will provide further financial context before we open the floor and we can answer your questions. Thank you for engaging us tonight, and I look forward to the dialogue. Back to you, Quan.
Thank you, Dr. Joseph. We want to remind you, if you've just joined this evening's call and you would like to ask a question, please press 0 on your phone keypad to be added into the queue to ask your question live. Before we hear from our next speaker, it's time for our first poll question of the evening. We want to hear from you. Do you believe the district has clearly communicated its big rocks or top priorities for the coming year? Press 1 if yes, press 2 if no, press 3 if somewhat. Again, do you believe the district has clearly communicated its big rocks or top priorities for the coming year? Press 1 if yes, press 2 if no, press 3 if somewhat. All right, we want to thank everyone for those responses that are rolling in. It looks like 53% of the callers on the call tonight believe that, yes, PGCPS is clearly communicating its big rocks and top priorities for the coming year. We thank you for your participation in that poll. Again, if you have a question at any time during tonight's program, just press 0 on your phone keypad to be added into the queue to ask your question live. Now we will welcome Lisa Howe, Chief Financial Officer for PGCPS. Welcome, Chief Howell.
Thank you, Quan. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us. My name is Lisa Howell, Chief Financial Officer for PGCPS. I would like to take a few minutes to explain why our fund balance, essentially the school system's savings account, is lower this year compared to last year, and what that means for our overall financial health. First of all, what is the fund balance and why does it matter? The fund balance represents the district's accumulated savings, the difference between what we've received in revenue and what we've spent over time. It's very similar to a household savings account. Maintaining a healthy fund balance is essential because it helps the school system manage our cash flow between revenue cycles, covers unexpected expenses or emergencies, and protects against sudden changes in funding or economic conditions. The Government Finance Officers Association, or GFOA, which provides national best practices for public finance, recommends that local governments, including school systems, maintain a minimum unrestricted fund balance of at least 2 months of regular operating expenditures. That's roughly 16 to 17% of our annual spending. The current fund balance is below this recommended threshold, meaning the district's reserves are lower than ideal levels. This makes it even more important to rebuild reserves and carefully manage spending going forward. So why did the fund balance decrease last year? There are several key factors that contributed to the decline in the fund balance last fiscal year. Number one, rising operating costs. The district continues to experience increased costs in areas that directly support daily operations, including transportation, employee compensation, utilities, and contracted services. For example, transportation costs have risen due to higher fuel prices, wage adjustments for drivers, and expanded service needs. These increases, while necessary, have outpaced the growth in our revenue. Second, expiration of our federal relief funds. During the pandemic, we benefited from temporary federal relief funding, which helped pay for learning recovery programs, technology upgrades, and health and safety measures. Those funds were one-time in nature, and as they expired, the district had to absorb many of those ongoing costs into the general fund. Third, we've had planned use of our reserves. The district has made a strategic decision to use a portion of our prior year fund balance to help stabilize the escalating salary costs projected for fiscal years 2023 through fiscal year 2025, during the early implementation of blueprint funding streams. While this approach reduced our reserves, it allowed us to invest in our dedicated employees and maintain stability in school operations. Number four, slower revenue growth. Although our costs have increased, revenue growth has been slower than expected. State and local funding adjustments did not fully keep pace with inflation and rising operational costs. Some revenues also came in below projection, which limited our ability to replenish our reserves. PGCPS operates within a broader economic and political environment that remains uncertain. The state's Blueprint for Maryland's Future accounts for nearly 90% of our revenue, stable but slightly restricted in how the funds can be used. Prince George's County government provides the state-mandated minimum contribution. Federal funding for key programs from special education to school meals face potential cuts, which could shift more costs to PGCPS. Number five, fewer students. Student enrollment has leveled off across Maryland, including PGCPS. Because blueprint funding is based on per-pupil counts, fewer students mean fewer dollars. This is the first year enrollment has dipped since the pandemic, and we need to ensure we're operating responsibly within this new reality. We must reset our budget to reflect what could be a lasting shift in student enrollment. National fiscal pressures are now beginning to affect our fiscal year 26 budget and are already being felt this fiscal year, with several cost drivers, including inflation, the prices for food and fuel and supplies continue to rise, special education costs continue to grow each year, outpacing blueprint funding increases. As student needs expand faster than state allocations, we rely on unrestricted funds to close the gap. Contracted services and aid conversions are projected to add more than $40 million this year alone. We need roughly $570 million annually in our capital budget to modernize aging school buildings, but receive only about $180 million. This $390 million gap leaves major needs in roofs, HVAC systems, and safety upgrades. Critically delaying these capital projects creates further cost pressures on our operating budget due to increased emergency maintenance and repairs. Fewer vacancies impacts our higher employee retention and has reduced our salary lapse savings that typically provide flexibility in covering other critical needs. Compensation and benefits have increased. Salaries and health care costs compound each year. Transportation. Our ongoing driver shortages have increased operational costs. We've also incurred higher costs addressing bus driver shortages, including recruitment, training incentives, overtime, and added routes with dedicated funding sources. So looking ahead, while the fund balance has declined, our financial position remains sound and carefully managed. This year's budget reflects our continued commitment to investing in the people who make our schools strong, our teachers, staff, and support team. Competitive salaries are essential to attracting and retaining the talented professionals our students deserve. However, these well-deserved salary increases also bring financial responsibilities. Because these costs compound each year, we cannot depend on a one-time use of our savings to cover them. Instead, we are taking a thoughtful and strategic approach by setting aside a minimal part of our fund balance, again, our financial safety net, to support our budget next year. At the same time, we recognize the importance of long-term sustainability. To preserve our financial health, we will make careful reductions in other spending areas while working to rebuild our fund balance. This balanced approach ensures we can sustain these salary increases, protect our classrooms, and plan responsibly for the future. Without action, these pressures could push the district to overspend by tens of millions this year. To stay balanced, the district must reduce spending by approximately $50 million in fiscal year 2026 and an additional $150 million in fiscal year 2027, for a total of roughly $200 million in savings aligned with projected revenues. Effective immediately, a district-wide hiring freeze is in place for central office positions, school-based positions, teachers, substitute teachers, bus drivers, safety and security staff, and maintenance personnel are exempt, and principals are encouraged to move quickly to fill existing vacancies. The district is also reviewing all discretionary spending, including non-local travel, catering, and meeting-related expenses. These steps are designed to keep the district ahead of potential shortfalls and ensure continued investment in student learning. We will reassess the budget early next year in 2026 to determine if additional tightening will be needed. We are taking proactive steps to control spending, identify efficiencies, and rebuild reserves over time. This goal is to gradually strengthen our fund balance while continuing to prioritize student achievement, safe learning environments, and high-quality educational programs. We will continue to follow GFOA best practices to ensure that the district maintains fiscal discipline, transparency, and long-term stability. Thank you for your continued trust and support as we navigate these financial challenges together in service of our students and schools. Together, we are investing in not just today's needs, but in the lasting strength and stability of our school system.
Thank you, Chief Hal. As a reminder, if you have a question at any time during tonight's program, just press 0 on your phone keypad to be added into the queue to ask your question live. We are pleased to be joined this evening by our esteemed Board of Education members, Jonathan Briggs, Vice Chair, Amy Olivo, District 4, Lolita E. Walker, District 9, Dr. Felton C. Moss, District 7, and Pamela Boozer-Struther, District 3. Vice Chair Briggs, we welcome you to share remarks at this time. All right, we'll come back to Vice Chair Briggs. Board Member Olivo, we welcome you to share remarks at this time.
Thank you so much, Kwan, and thank you to all of the PCPS families who have joined us this evening. Really appreciate you taking your time out of your evening to be with us and to ask your questions. And I just want to put out a plea as well that you will join us, your Board of Education in Annapolis in 2026, as we fight to bring every dollar back to Prince George's County Public Schools. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That is a great point. Board Member Walker, would you like to give remarks at this time?
Absolutely, and thank you so much. Good evening, everyone. This is Lolita E. Walker from District 9, and I want to just start off by saying thank you to each of you all for being on the call tonight. Your presence and your voice and your willingness to stay engaged absolutely shows your care for our scholars, our staff, and our community, so a huge thank you. As you've already heard tonight, we are in a tough financial season, not only in PGCPS, but truly across our county and our state, as you all know. But we definitely remain strong when we face these challenges together. So tonight, as we work through this operating budget, yes, we have to make some hard decisions, but we'll do it together. So tonight, please ask your tough questions. Tell us what you're seeing, what you're feeling, because your input absolutely helps us shape the process, and your partnership truly helps us move forward. So I'm looking forward to hearing from you as we continue to work together, and we work for you all. Thanks so much. And also, Kwan, I just wanted to let you know that Board Member Robin Brown from District 5 is also on the line. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Board Member Brown, we welcome you to give remarks as well, if you'd like.
Yes, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I do not have to repeat the sentiments of my wonderful colleagues, but we are here to support our families at Prince George's County Public Schools. You know, you have a lot of board members who are also in you all's shoes, wanting the best for our scholars who enter in PGCPS every day. And so whatever we can do to help support you all and support this administration, we thank you so much for your feedback. Please continue to ask questions and provide us with any concerns that you may have. And let's make our kids PGCPS proud.
Thank you so much, Board Member Brown. And we thank all of our board members for joining us this evening. Before we move on, I just wanted to see if Vice Chair Briggs is on the line.
Thank you so much, Kwan. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I hear you.
Oh, okay, great. I just want to echo the sentiments of my colleagues and say, one, thank you to Dr. Joseph and Chief Howe for that really thoughtful and thorough presentation. I know that moments like these can feel challenging and scary because we know how important public education is for the future of our students. But I think that the desire to come together and have a discussion, a really thoughtful and intentional discussion about finances and what that looks like in the future, I think it's the best way that we can all move forward in our various capacities, you know, specifically for our communities and parents who care so deeply about what's happening in our schools. So I want to say thank you. I'm hoping that this opportunity is great, a chance to kind of get a better understanding of how our finances work and how we as board members can support each and every one of you at the individual school level as well. So thank you for joining, and thank you so much, Kwan, for coming back to me.
Thank you so much, Vice Chair Briggs. And before we move on, I just want to see if we're also joined by Board Member Moss. Dr. Moss, are you on the line? All right. Welcome back to Dr. Moss. We are also joined on the call this evening by members of our Executive Cabinet team. Welcome to the entire Cabinet. Thank you for joining us this evening. At this time, we will open up the Q&A portion of tonight's program. Chief Howell, Dr. Joseph, and executive cabinet members. We are now opening the line for questions. If you are on mute, please unmute your lines at this time if you do not have any background noise. Our first caller is Mr. Joel Castleman with a question regarding the budget. Joel, you are live and can ask your question.
Thanks. It's Joe, actually. Anyway.
Sorry about that, sir.
That's okay. I understand what it was clear the various sources of income that have decreased or been canceled. One that has certainly not decreased, and my question is about that, is we, Prince George's County, pays the third highest median property tax rate in Maryland. So if you tell me there's a problem with the budget, I believe it, but my tax bill says there shouldn't be, and I'm sure there's plenty of other people on the call feeling that. I don't imagine that stream has decreased, so I'm just wondering where and how that fits into this situation. Thank you.
Thank you, and I can take a crack at that, and then Chief Howell, if you want to add, feel free to do so. You know, so Prince George's County's tax rate is, you know, higher than many tax rates in the region, but our average cost of housing tends to be lower. So, for example, Montgomery County might have a lower tax rate, but the actual overall cost of housing is higher, so they can bring in more revenue. We have, you know, limitations to the dollars that come in, though we have a $3 billion budget. You know, we're the second largest school district in the state with 132,000 children. So as costs come up, it just makes things tighter.
Thank you. And I can add that as well. So the funding that we receive from the county is based off of a state aid funding formula. The county has several funding sources that feeds into the budget, including the school system's budget, property taxes being one of those funding sources. Those various funding sources that come into the county help support the funding requirements that's outlined in the formula mandated by the state. So the county contributes the minimum amount required that's outlined in the state's funding formula, and those property taxes are a source to help pay for that. So it's determined by the county how they decide to utilize and allocate additional funding sources, but the funding that we get for the district is based off of the prescribed formula outlined in the blueprint funding legislation.
Thank you, Chief Howell. Before we bring up our next caller, we just want to remind everyone, if you have a question for any of tonight's speakers, please press 0 at any time to be added into the queue to ask your question live. Our next caller is Shawanda with a question regarding allocation of funds. Shawanda, you are now live and can ask your question.
Hi, good evening. My name is Shawanda. I have two children that are currently enrolled in Melwood Elementary School. I'm talking because I'm concerned that there are several facility and safety issues at the school, and I was wondering is there money allocated to go there? There's a leaky roof with a persistent mildew smell that results in my children coming home smelling like mildew. The parking lot is hazardous. There's potholes everywhere, and it makes it hard to drop off the kids in the morning and pick them up. And there's another concern of the there's no arrow for us to turn, a green arrow. And so it makes it hard to get in and out of that school. And this is Melwood Elementary School in Upper Marlboro, Maryland.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. We'll have, our chief operating officer go have a team look at the school this week, and we can follow up on, you know, some of those issues and work directly with the principal on some of the concerns that were addressed.
And if I might add, Dr. Joseph, this is Dr. Coleman, the Chief Operating Officer. In addition to the operating budget, we also have a separate capital budget. And those funds are allocated to address many of the areas that you've discussed, such as the roof that needs repair, such as parking lots that need to be redone, and other significant building repairs that must occur. Even in the midst of these budget reductions, we will utilize the capital budget as well as the operating budget to try to address the deferred maintenance needs of the district.
Thank you, everyone. Our next caller is Kim Sanders with a question regarding tuition. Kim, you are now live and can ask your question. Kim, are you with us?
I had to take it off of mute.
Oh, no worries. Thank you.
My question, where are my glasses? Where are my glasses? I'm sorry. My question was about funding as far as the Prince George's County. Someone said that the taxes were low. No, my taxes are higher. They have doubled since I've been living here for over 25 years. So my question is, as far as funding is concerned, have we thought about maybe charging student families that are out of state or that have come over for international children to maybe pay a small fee for them attending our schools, which is driving up the cost and the growing cost of families coming to PG County schools? And also I was thinking, have we thought about asking more families to volunteer to help out in areas where maybe they can be needed to help out with some of the growing needs after they have received a police fingerprint for safety of our children as well? And also maybe we can do fundraisers, since this meeting is about financial issues and how they are cutting back funding for the community, for the school.
Thank you for the question. I'll take the first part, and Chief Howell, you can address the second part. And I want to clarify, I didn't say taxes were not high. I mean, taxes in Prince George's County are higher than the region. What I was sharing was that you take an example like Montgomery County, the taxes are lower, but because the cost of average housing there is higher, the district is able to bring in greater revenue. You know, so we're not proposing raising taxes, but what we are proposing is that we need to do something because right now things are getting tight and we want to make sure we stay fiscally stable. Chief Howell, would you like to add anything to that?
Sure, I will address the question around students who may be coming to the county from other states or other countries. If the student is, or the family, are residents of Prince George's County, they're entitled to a free education. So we will not charge our families for their students attending the school district. With regards to volunteers and providing support to schools, I will turn that over to Dr. Murrow.
As it relates to volunteers, we have a volunteer process, and so we're open to any and every individual to go through the volunteer process. And once they receive the proper fingerprinting and go through the clearance, then they are able to support us at the schools, and we do have that in place with the school system.
Quan, are you there?
I'm so sorry. My line cut out. All right. We're preparing to open up the call to our next caller, Moyer of Akakeek. You are now live and can ask your question regarding enrollment.
Yes, good evening. Thank you so much for having this event this evening. I really appreciate the opportunity to ask a real-time question. I was just hoping you could provide more insight into the email that was sent out to parents indicated that county enrollment is down, but I know that at our school we've had very large class sizes for years, so I'm just not sure, you know, is it disproportionately allocated in terms of enrollment, where it's higher in some places and lower in other places? Any additional details would be valued.
Thank you for the question. We believe enrollment is lower this year, you know, as a result of, some of our national immigration laws now. We're seeing fewer students coming from other countries into the district, particularly in the northern part of the county. But there are some parts of our county that are still bustling over with high enrollment, but there are other parts that are lower. But overall, our projection is lower this year than it had been.
And I can add to that as well. Part of the funding that's outlined in the state aid that is governs the funding for the district, we have different tiers of funding. There's funding that we receive for every single eligible student, K through 12, enrolled in the school district. And then there's additional funding based off of targeted demographics outlined in the funding formula that's tied to legislation. So for students, as Dr. Joseph referenced, who are multilingual learners, we get additional funding for that student population. And so even though our total enrollment is relatively flat, that student population, which we receive additional funding for, is going down. So that's having an impact on our funding going down for that student population. We also receive funding for our pre-K students as well, and that number is going down year over year as well. And so there are certain buckets of student groups where the count is going down, so that in turn has an impact on the revenue coming into the district.
Thank you, Chief Howell and Dr. Joseph. All right, we're moving on to our next caller. You are now bringing up Coy from Bowie. Coy, you are now live and can ask your question regarding funding from the government.
Yes, good evening, and thank you for organizing this. My question is about the bleak picture that you're painting. How much is tied to the ongoing dismantling of the U.S. Department of Education? How much can be attributed to the cuts from the state government, and how much is pretty much a result of bad planning from the county itself? And in any event, what does that mean in terms of transportation? What does that mean for special needs kids and for free summer meals for low-income households? Thank you.
Thank you. Chief Howell, that sounds like a question for you.
Yes. Federal funding for 2027 is still very early in the process in terms of what that impact may look like. As we think about our overall operating budget, we have a fair amount of federal funding that's tied to different programs, restricted programs, that supports targeted groups such as students with disabilities, multilingual learners. There's also funding that we receive for additional student supports, professional development for our educators. With regards to the changes that are happening at the federal level, what we're hearing at this very early stage is that the reorganization is really around realigning those programs that are currently administered under the Department of Ed to different agencies within the federal government. Right now, there's no indication that there's going to be an impact to the dollar amounts appropriated for next year, but we're still very early in that process. There has been some discussions around what those grants may look like on a going forward basis, potentially consolidating the grants instead of them being issued by individual programs, lumping them together in bigger buckets. So that is still very, very uncertain at this point in time. It's not quite clear what that may look like for next year, for 2027. So that's something that we're going to continue to monitor and work through closely with the Maryland State Department of Education as they receive information with regards to the U.S. Department of Education and the changes happening at the federal level. With regards to the federal funding that was tied to relief funds that have since expired around the pandemic. We plan for the use of those funds on a short-term basis because we knew they were temporary. And as we were planning towards the final use of those funds, very deliberate decisions were made around what was going to transition from those grants into our overall operating budget. And so we were very clear not to add positions to those funds because they're not sustainable, but really around critical programs. So we continue to support some of those critical programs in our operating budget, such as technology devices for our students and mental health supports. So we were very strategic in determining what that will look like once those temporary funds went away, and we planned for those costs to come into our overall operating budget.
Thank you, Chief Howe. At this time, we are welcoming Dolores Milhouse to the line with a question regarding driving force behind our budget decisions. Dolores, you are now live and can ask your question.
Good evening, everyone. My question is pretty simple. The superintendent, Joseph, you are the treasurer of the board. The board has the final decision on what happens with the budget. So the concern that I have is many of the board members lack the knowledge, skill, and ability and have not really been through this budget process. And I know last year's cycle was very intense, and there were several amendments that were pushed forward by the board members. And I want to highlight one particular one as it related to positions that were being added to the board office that are of great concern. And so when we're talking about having to do reductions, if, you know, what the administration presents to the board, if they have the final say in what happens, how are we to make sure that their amendments do not continue to explode the budget? And Chief Howe, I appreciate the work that you did last year. It was very, very thorough, and you presented a lot of the concerns that if we continue on with some of the approvals that were made, that we would not be able to sustain it financially. And so if our SBB is being impacted and student enrollment may continue to fail based on this new federal administration, I'm not hearing that you all have a true understanding of what needs to happen to make sure that we don't keep having to cut, and you cannot particularly keep it away from the schoolhouse.
Thank you so much for your comments there. And what I would say is that, you know, the additional positions that were, you know, added in the process are, I mean, they are a drop in the bucket to the overall $3 billion budget. However, it is important to monitor, you know, what we're adding and the long-term effects. This year, all departments, including the Board of Education, have been given a target for reductions as we work through. You know, what's really important for us is to really, you know, be critically look at positions that are added, you know, in a budget and those things that are going to be costs that compound. And when you hire people, those costs do compound over time. You know, so ultimately 80% of our budget or more are people. So we do have to monitor that. You know, ultimately, with this process this year, there'll be an opportunity for the community to react and provide feedback on my proposed budget. Once I put it out on January 22nd, there'll be opportunities for feedback from the community to give before the board ultimately votes to, you know, adopt the budget. And they'll have also opportunity when they make their proposal, hopefully for the community, to provide feedback. So we're being intentional this year about creating ample opportunities for collective community engagement and feedback prior to the board ultimately approving the budget. So in the coming weeks, you'll see we'll be working with the board-approved parent advisory council, with our unions, with our students, to look at my proposal, and then we'll have a process to do it again prior to the board having an opportunity to vote. So, it's, again, this is a collective effort, and we're going to work in a spirit of collaboration with our Board of Education to make sure that we present a sound budget that can accelerate outcomes for children.
Thank you, Dr. Joseph. It is now time for our final poll question of the evening, and we want to hear from you. Our next poll question, well, rather, our final poll question is, are you willing and able to reach out to your Maryland senator and delegates about the importance of full funding for PGCPS? Press 1 if yes, press 2 if no, press 3 for somewhat. Again, are you willing and able to reach out to your Maryland senator and delegates about the importance of full funding for PGCPS? Press 1 for yes, press 2 if no, press 3 if somewhat. As we await the final results of tonight's survey, we want to thank you for supporting tonight's call. Tonight, we had more than 9,000 parents and guardians join us throughout the course of our virtual telephone town hall. And the results are in. 75% of our families that have joined us on the line tonight have said yes, they are willing and able to reach out to their Maryland senator and delegates to talk about the importance of full funding for PGCPS. Thank you, everyone, for your participation. Dr. Joseph, as we begin to wrap up, do you have any final thoughts this evening?
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, first, I want to thank our families for joining this call. It's important that we work together and really challenge ourselves and push and hold ourselves accountable and hold one another accountable. To present a budget that we believe can accelerate learning in Prince George's County Public Schools. You know, we have 132,000 amazing students that we have the opportunity to impact. And it's our goal to ensure that we're thoughtful and we're deliberate, you know, in our pursuit of, you know, becoming a district where we have pockets of excellence to a district where excellence is scaled across the board. You know, that happens when we work hand in hand, listen deeply to one another, and push to execute evidence-based strategies that we know will have a positive effect on our ultimate outcomes. And so, you know, I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve in Prince George's County, and I look forward to continued dialogue. Tonight is just a beginning of a conversation as we move through, you know, the next 4 or 5 months in developing a budget that's balanced, one that, you know, protects our future, and one that ensures that, you know, Prince George's County advantages the children that we serve. And so I look forward to the continued engagement. Be on the lookout because, again, this is just the first of many opportunities for us to continue to engage. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Joseph. Before we close out tonight's call, Chief Howe, I want to hear from you. I see that we have a lot of questions coming in still, a lot of questions around how PGCPS will protect classrooms if cuts are needed. Can you talk to us about that this evening?
Sure. Our goal is to ensure that our reductions, our realignments, looking at our budget, we're highly focused on preserving critical instruction for our students. We're looking to stay as far away from the classroom as possible. These reductions are steep, and they're going to be, you know, impactful across the district. But we certainly want to ensure that instruction, supplies and materials needed to support instruction are not impacted by decisions that are being considered during the upcoming budget cycle. So certainly having that as our top priority, as Dr. Joseph referenced, to ensure that we're focusing on accelerating outcomes for our students. And in order to do that, we have to preserve those critical items.
Thank you, Chief Howell, for that explanation. It's very appreciated. Well, we want to thank you, Chief Howell, again, and thank you, Dr. Joseph, for your remarks and your incredible leadership. And again, congratulations on a very successful first 100 days. I would also like to thank all of our Board of Education members and Executive Cabinet members for joining us during tonight's event. And I want to especially thank our parents and our guardians for joining us this evening. We could not do this work without you. And we thank you for your engagement and support. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and good night.